first of all here. Father God, I thank you this morning that we can gather into your presence, that we can offer up our prayers, Lord, and know, Lord God, that you hear every prayer that we offer to you, Lord God, and you see fit to answer as you will. I ask you, Lord God, that you would rest your spirit upon me, that I would deliver your word, Lord God, and that you would use it to be a living agent within our hearts, Lord, and let it guide us, Lord, and understand your work and your ways much better. I ask, Lord, for your blessing this morning, and that we would leave here today knowing that we've met with the true and living God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read, first of all, this morning from Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 24 and into chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 24, chapter 7. Yeah. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for his people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. Okay. My purpose this morning in the talk that I am doing is subjected around the term intercession. In fact, we had a period of intercession this morning, so if you keep that in your head, you'll get to know what I'm sort of getting at this morning. Taddy spoke last week on the subject of Jesus' position at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, and explained in his view, he does not believe it means that Jesus is saying prayers every moment of the day for you and I. He doesn't think it's like that film God Almighty, where the actor wants to be God for a week, and he doesn't become God, but God says, okay, you can be me for the week, and he has all these millions of prayers coming at him through email, and he's trying to answer them all. That is not Jesus. Jesus is not sitting there trying to answer every single email and prayer that he was putting across that comes to him. But he believes that rather he is there at the Father's right hand making intercession for us. And maybe I'll try and explain this later a bit. Although his physical earthly ministry and mission are complete, Jesus, according to the writer of the Hebrews, has an unchangeable ministry as our great high priest, and therefore has a specific purpose. And he's seated, like Teddy said, at the Father's right hand, where he is right now. We have a world at the minute that is full of what I would call peace negotiators. People who become, usually the Americans, by the way, American envoys, fly in the troubled areas of the world, like Northern Ireland, for example. And they come and they try to intercede. They take the position between the two opposing parties, and they try and find a peace deal. And of course, in Northern Ireland, we have the Good Friday Agreement, which came apart from one of these peace deals. In Israel, there is an ongoing process of trying to find peace between Israel and the Palestinian state. Palestinian people, and they're trying to bring about a sort of resolution to this. The Palestinians weren't their state, and they're trying to find a way of bringing this about. And again, the Americans are involved. Tony Blair was involved for 8 years trying to bring about a peace deal in Israel, which of course never happened. To make peace or have a request heard on world today seems to mean that the Americans are going to fly in with their envoys, set up a little party, and try and bring this peace about. But it never appears to happen. Of course, if you read or listen to the news or follow what's happening in North Korea, you'll understand that there has been a kind of a deal struck there that he's going to stop producing his arms and his nuclear missiles and shut down things and all this kind of thing. But how long that's going to last and how fragile it's going to be is for us to wait and see. But today I'm looking at the subject of intercession. And to get a grasp of this, we need to consider the position of the high priest in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the high priest had specific roles and duties to perform specific to him. He had to do important tasks, especially at the Day of Atonement, when he would sprinkle blood of the sacrifice and the Holy of Holies over the mercy seat to make atonement. First of all for his own sin, and then for the sin of the people of Israel. This was to sin for him, to cover his sin and the sins of the people. And it was a once a year act. However, it wasn't until Jesus came to make the once for all sacrifice that the need for cleansing ceremonies in this once a year was abolished. It was no longer required. When Jesus made his sacrifice upon the cross, he declared, "It is finished." It no longer required any further sacrifices like this. It was finished. He sat down at the Father's right hand, and there was no longer sacrifice that needed. High priests at this time would come and go, and their offices would change or they would die. But the priesthood of Jesus is permanent. It's never going to be changed or replaced by anyone else. He is our great high priest. God says this, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." This is because Jesus had been perfected forever, having offered up himself once for all, the perfect sacrifice for sin, and now the high priest seated at God's right hand. Now it's quite interesting actually if you look at the word Melchizedek. You might have noticed I've practiced that word 1,000 times. The word Melchizedek can be broken down into two elements. The first bit, Melchah, means king. And the second bit, Zedek, means righteousness. So you have the literal translation, King of Righteousness. And this is the title given to Jesus. Now in Psalm 110, which I'm going to read very quickly, you'll pick up what I'm trying to say here this morning. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion and rule in the midst of your enemies." And in a few verses on it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with their dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside, therefore he shall lift up the head." This is a messianic psalm speaking about Jesus, his priestly reign, and that he is going to be rightly the judge that is going to return. A lot packed into Psalm 110, and I'm not going to try and unpack it at all, but I want to make some very simple bullet point marks about this psalm. It states that he is seated at God's right hand. We already know that. Taught you last week. He will triumph over his enemies and rule over them. That's what's going to come. He will be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That shown in Hebrews. Now we see it in Psalm 110. And he will have divine power to crush kings, judge nations, and slay the wicked. What he's going to do at the end times. This psalm, along with Hebrews that I've read, shows us who Jesus is and who he is right at this moment. The privileged position that he has been given as the great high priest, worthy of that position, and that he is the only one that could ever fill this position. And the beauty about Scripture is that we can trace from Psalm 110 into the Hebrews, we can see the lineage of Jesus through the King David back into Abraham. You can always see the lineage trace and from Melchizedek up to Jesus. There's always a lineage, always a trace. And when we consider intercession this morning, we have difficulty due to the way that it is being handled right now on earth and by many different religions. I have a good friend, a really good friend called Dermot. We studied together in Scotland. Before I was a Christian, he would try and convert me to Roman Catholicism. We had a room together. We'd always have debates. Although I was not a Christian, I understood that Roman Catholicism was not the answer. And during our last exam, on our final exam, we have to do a year's exam, basically, and then go back and do these interviews. And I went up to Dermot's, picked him up, my Foxhole Nova 1.2 Diamond. It was great. And I went up to pick him up, and his mother was really emotional. And Dermot was there, and she was doing her emotional stuff. And she said, "Keith," I said, "Yes." She goes, "I've been praying for you." And I said, "Thank you very much." She said, "I've been praying to St. Jude." I looked at Dermot. I said, he said, and I went to Dermot, as if it's an uncle or something, no? And she goes, "And it's all going to be good for you." So I left, got in the car with Dermot, driving along. I said, "Dermot." I said, "Who the heck's St. Jude?" He said, "Keith, don't worry." He said, "It's all good." I said, "Right." He said, "St. Jude is the prayer for the hopeless, those in desperate situations." And I went, "Oh my goodness." Well, I nearly had a heart attack. And I said to Dermot, "You're not cursing me or nothing, are you?" He said, no, it's okay. It's these dead saints. We pray to them and then they answer all our prayers." I said, "That's great." So anyway, as it turns out, I passed and my friend failed. So I think he needs to go and have a word with St. Jude. But we don't believe that we can pray to dead people. We don't believe that we can pray to dead saints and that they can somehow intercede for us. But the Roman Catholic Church are really big into this. They've a saint for everything. I'm really sad. I read the obituaries and all that in the paper. Because I'm always keen to say what people are saying, you know, about somebody. And quite often you'll see that there'll be these little things praying to St. Jude or St. Christopher or St. whoever. And that they have specific, these guys all have specific titles and things that they can do. And of course, we as Christians and believers don't believe that we can pray to these people. Don't believe that dead people can do anything for us. There's nothing that they can do. But we speak about Jesus, it says, "Therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And that's a bit of a puzzling verse, that, and I don't want to get into whether we believe he intercedes all the time, or whether it's, you know, as he sees what we're doing, or he hears our prayers. I'm assuming it's because he hears our prayers. This verse tells us that Jesus is continuing his work in heaven, that he hears our prayers. That's him that we're praying to. Otherwise, we may as well waste our time. We're wasting our time. If Jesus isn't hearing my prayer, then I'm wasting my time. No point in me praying. Taddy said that Jesus didn't go to heaven just to take a break. He didn't go up there to cross his legs and sit back and say, "Well, it's done, I'm not doing anything else." We believe that he is our eternal shepherd, that he is still working, he's still doing things, still hearing our prayers in heaven. That's what I believe. So I was thinking about this, and while Jesus is seated at his Father's right hand, he continues to be my advocate before the throne. And when I say that, it means he is our great defender. And this is an intercessory role he currently holds, that he is currently in the position of. Jesus is always before the Father, like a defense lawyer is on our behalf. I'm not saying that, I'm not using that analogy, George Jesus, but on the sense of a defense lawyer. If you think about it, Jesus is interceding for us while Satan, the accuser, is accusing me or pointing his finger at me or slandering me or pointing the sins in my life. Satan is always having a go at me. And I have Jesus who is rebuffing those accusations. Why? Well, because all of my sin has been paid in full. My debt has been paid in full. And therefore, when Satan makes those allegations against me, Jesus is rebuffing those because they no longer stand against me, because I've been made perfect in the righteousness of Jesus. I've been clothed in his righteousness. Therefore, Satan has no longer any right or any cause to attack me in those ways. When Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness, his perfect holiness was imputed to me, and while our sin was taken upon him upon the death, upon the cross. This is the great exchange that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, that he took away forever my sinful state before God so that God could accept us as blameless before him. And it is important to understand that Jesus is the only human mediator between God and man. There is no one else, not even Mary or the saints or Catholic priests, that can have the power to intercede before the throne of God on my behalf. There is only one who can do this. No angel can do it. Christ alone is the God-man who mediates and intercedes between God and man. When I was a young boy, I used to get picked up on the bus at Breezemount. He used to bring us down to the Ebenezer Hall. And I always remember the verse that used to say, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." There is no one else who can intermediate between me and God. It is only because of Jesus. Jesus, therefore, is the advocate for Christians. He is our great defender. And I looked at the term great defender. And when we think about it, it evokes someone standing there, standing between us and our enemy, that he is somehow battling against them for me, the army that is seeking to attack me. Prince Charles has stated that he will retain this monarch title as defender of the faith when he becomes king, if he ever becomes king. I think a queen's going to live forever. But he says that he wants to ensure that all faiths are protected by this practice. And so a few years ago, King Charles was saying that he wanted to take out the, and he wanted to say that he was going to protect faiths and not the faith. The prince has said that he would rather be seen as the defender of the faith because it would be an inclusion of all faiths, and I think that that would be a catastrophic error if that was to happen. But what does it mean to be the defender of the faith? What is it to me that Jesus is my great defender, that he is my advocate before the throne? Does it mean that he stands battling the enemy for me? If you look at the example of the courtroom, you will have the judge, the jury, you'll also have the accused, and you'll have a solicitor. And when you're standing there and you're being accused of something, you're being tried for something, you have a solicitor who stands in your place, and they are quite often battling for you, trying to set across your case, trying to argue why you are innocent. And it is often for the judge to decide the final decision. So if Jesus is our defender, then what are we on this earth to do? If Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand, what are we doing here? What are we to do? What's it to do with me, this intercession? Well, we are those people who are praying daily, like we did today. We're praying for others. We're trying to intercede on their behalf. For example, if you know someone's ill or someone's sick, quite often they will come to you as a Christian and they'll say to you, "Well, such and such is sick. Will you pray for them? Will you act for them?" And we will quite often say, "Yes, we will." We will go and we will remember them in prayer. We will intercede for them because Jesus hears our prayers. And often, you will often hear them saying that whenever you're with somebody and they're praying, they will finish the prayer in Jesus' name. And of course, Peter said this when he was healed the lame man in Acts, in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is because there is nothing that I can do that has power to heal this person. There is nothing that I can do that can make a difference in the person's life that we're praying for. All of that comes because and through Jesus. We are just the agent by which the prayer is being worked through. We are a vessel by which we are bringing the prayers before Jesus. This is why people come to you as a Christian, because they recognize that you can make the difference. They recognize that your prayer can make a difference. And this is quite often why people will come to us. This is the proof that even the unbelieving world knows that we can go before the Father through Jesus and ask the mediator, Jesus, to do something. They recognize it. When my cousin had a terrible motorbike accident, he was at the point of death. My whole family were panicking. I only have a few believers in my family, my sister and my mum. All the rest are unbelievers. And it was my auntie's son who took this terrible accident. and my phone never stopped ringing. And my mum said, Keith, the reason they're phoning you is because they know you're a Christian. They know you preach. They know that you can go before God. And isn't it interesting that the unbeliever recognizes at the point of death that God is the only one that can do something different. And they know they can't go to God because they don't believe in him. And therefore they're coming to you and saying, will you make the difference? Will you pray? And I'm saying, well, look, listen, I'll pray and I'll intercede, but really I can't do much more than that. It's God who moves, who makes the difference. And so we have the verse that says, whatever you ask for in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All that we do is to glorify the Father. And Tati said a few weeks ago, man's chief end is to glorify God. So when we act and pray and intercede on behalf of the people, we're doing this as a spiritual business in this world. We're doing it to come before God, to go through Jesus to God, so that something is going to be done. It is much more than being a sort of envoy in this world, where people like Trump go around trying to make peace deals and make a difference. We're doing it on a spiritual level, and it is making a difference. But we're not going through dead priests. We're not going through Catholic or dead saints or Catholic priests. We're not having to go through Mary. There is only one mediator, only one way that we can have our prayers answered, and that is going through Jesus. When we're acting on behalf of others, we're not bargaining. We're not going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, if you can save my cousin from the point of death, I will pray harder. I will put more money into the box at the back. I promise to be a better person. None of that matters. When we're interceding on behalf of others, it is purely our prayer to Jesus. God can and does move at any time, but quite often he will move because of our prayers, and our prayers are the effective agents that make the difference. You'll hear in the 4 weeks that have gone past, in the evenings, where people have testified that God has moved because of other people's prayers in their lives. The footballer, the prayers of his uncle and others, and him moving towards things, made the difference. Prayer makes the difference. We are always interceding on behalf of others in this. As a small example, I want to give you that of one of my daughters. We had this conversation yesterday. It's not going to be hard. Well, actually, it might be hard for you to work out, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is, because she asked me not to. But I was in the car, and we were chatting about prayer again, as we often do. And she said to me, you know, Daddy, I've been praying 2 years for my two friends, because I know, because I pray there every night. 2 years for those two girls that I pray for. And she said, it's not, you know, nothing's changed yet. And then she told me, she said, but Daddy, I'm going to keep praying, even if it's 20 years, for my two friends to come to know Jesus. And I just thought that is the most perfect example of what it is to intercede for somebody else, because they do not know that she's praying for them. And she is praying for them in the hope that they would come to know Jesus. And that is all that matters to her. There is nothing else to be gained from this for her, that her friends would come to know Jesus. And I said, you know, that's amazing. At your age, you understand what it is to have intercessory prayer. This is interceding on a person's behalf. This is what it is to pray that someone would come to know Jesus. And this morning I would encourage all of us, and I have a few of my own, that we would have specific people that we're praying for, intercessory prayer, people that we know aren't saved, and we're saying, Lord, I want such and such to be saved. We have to pray. It's not that it's just going to happen. We need to be continually in prayer that those people would come to know Jesus. That's so important. And for my little daughter saying that this morning, or yesterday, it really touched me. And I thank the Lord for that. I said, Lord, that's amazing, amazing prayer. So this morning, and I'm finishing now, I want us to have specific family or friends that we are praying for to come to know Jesus. Not that they be healed, not that they be sickness. And I know those are all important things. Our prayer this morning should be that we're all going to get someone and they're going to put them on our prayer list. And I already know some of the prayers in here. It'll be sons. It'll be daughters. It'll be, you know, parents. And I'm going to, you know, pray as well that these people would come to know Jesus. Because it's so important, and this is the point, that we all pray for someone that we know to come to know Jesus. Even our mission, we're doing that. Even Jimmy's prayer this morning. Just one would be enough. I just ask this morning that we would continue to pray the way we have been doing, and that it would make a difference in the life of someone that we know. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all that you've shown me this week in this talk, Lord, that we have a great high priest, that we have Jesus, and we can come to Jesus at any moment in prayer. Because of Jesus, we have that access to God the Father, that we come to Jesus and our prayers come to you, Lord, and you, Lord, answer them as you see fit. And I ask, Lord, that you would hear all of our prayers this morning, that we do intercede on behalf of others, that you would help us to be a people of prayer this morning, that our prayers would make the difference. Lord, I've seen the difference that prayers can make even in my own life. I can see things that you've done in my life through consistent prayer, never giving up. And I ask you, Lord, that we would be people in here who pray never giving up on those prayers and on those people we're praying for. Lord, please help us to see our prayers making a difference. And it was because of what you've done, Lord Jesus, that we can do this, that we have this wonderful, wonderful gift of prayer. Lord, help us never to abuse it or overlook it or underestimate it. But help us, Lord God, to relish it and to be people who really learn to pray effective prayers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.